I will get y'all to turn in your Bibles. 1 John, hang on a second. Let me get my stuff together here. 1 John 4:7. Just hold that spot for a little bit. We call that Little John. 1 John. 1st, 2nd, 3rd John or Little John. Same John. Just 4:7. But before we get into what we're going to talk about today, something dawned on me just a while ago when I was reading through these announcements. I'm going to open it back up. I don't know why God laid this on my heart, but it's for somebody or for me, maybe. So I was going down the laundry list, so to speak, of the services. You know, we got Wednesday, Sundays, and then I was going through the Bible studies and men's breakfast, Mother's Day luncheon, all that stuff. That's good things. It's all good. That stuff. Do not neglect your personal time either. I want to tell you, it's okay to have these scheduled stuff. I call it stuff. These Sunday school. They're all important. Very important. But just as equally as important as your one-on-one time with God too. Amen. And what you need to do at home. So I'm going to challenge you to, and you may be ahead of the game, or you may not be. You already may be somewhere in the middle. So here's my message on that part. Get home today, take your Bible, walk outside, knock the dust off of it. I don't want you to dirty your house up, so do it outside. Y'all can laugh. That's funny. Yeah. But get in His Word every day. Read something, at least something every day. Not just wait for a church service or an activity. So daily, saturate yourself with God's Word daily. But also, it's come to this stuff too. I would challenge you this too. If you work on your personal relationship with God, and then when you come to these Sunday school, church, men's breakfast, whatever activities we have, you'll see a different light. It'll be different for you. I guarantee you. And you'll have something to bring to offer. And so we're all called. Remember that. That was free. Yes, sir. You sure can. All right. Good deal. God still does good things. Yeah. So I had y'all turn to 1 John. You know, I talk and, or let me get the eye out of it. God has used me for the last year or so, give or take, to push out what we just kind of talked about a while ago, reading your Bible, walking with Christ, you know, number one, accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. What's it look like to be, to walk with Christ? What all this stuff, you know, Christ-like, spreading His Word, getting His Word out there. Talk about all that all the time. And that's good stuff. There's one part of it, though. There's a common denominator that I want to try, with God's help, explain this. It's the love that it takes. And we talk about that big Greek word, agape love. If somebody was to ask you right now, what's agape love? How are you going to explain it to them? What's your definition of it?
Unconditional.
That's a good one. So we're going to focus on that today. Where it comes from, originates, and our walk with Christ and our witness to people and our work in the Lord all revolves around that word love. Okay? This kind of love. Now, as men, I fall in that category. Sometimes we don't like to express emotions and all that stuff. And I want to tell you, you don't have to worry about it because it's not an emotion, what I'm going to talk about today. This agape love. Because hopefully when we leave here today, that we have a deeper understanding. You may know what it is and understand it some, or you may not. We can have a deeper understanding of what it is. John 3:16 tells us the source of it. You got to start with the source. And y'all, a lot of y'all know what John 16 is. For God so loved the world. Let me start over. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish. There's your source. That's the kind of love we're fixing to talk about. That's the kind of love that you have to have as a Christian to do God's work, to spread his word, to answer your call, and all that stuff we've talked about before. So, here we go. I told you to turn to 1 John 4:7. We're going to base it off a lot of this off of this. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Now, I want you to pick up on a few things here. I'm going to break this down a little bit. I read John 3:16 earlier. That's where it comes from. John, the disciple down the road, reiterates, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. Okay? That's the kind of love we're going to talk about. The one that comes from God, what he demonstrated when he gave his son for us. We literally need to thank God that he gave his son to die on that cross, not particularly that one, on the cross for you and I. There's no other way. There's no other way we could have had salvation. That's the only way it could have happened. That's how much God loves us. That needs to sink in. How much God really loves us that he gave his only son to do something that none of us could do. And he did it for us. For love is from God. And it says, whoever, that's everybody. That's the way I understand that. Whoever. That includes everybody, right? Whoever loves has been born of God. Okay? Through his son, Jesus Christ. Read John 1:1 also. I had this come in my head. Jesus, God. In the beginning was the Word. Word was God. Word is God. Jesus, God. Through Jesus. When I say through Jesus, also that means God. So whoever has been born of God and knows God. You got to put those two together. You got to know God. I'm sorry. You got to be born of God, but you got to know who he is. What he is. What he is to you. Who he is to you. You got to know him. And how do you do that? We started off on my little kick on personal study, personal time, prayer, going to church, going to Bible studies. Surround yourself with God, through people and through all this other stuff that we do daily. I can say I got a set of favorite words I like, daily, saturated. I get to use that a lot today. So it's a daily walk. When we talk about love, the world often means feelings, romance. Now look here, I'm the king of romance. Just ask my wife. No, don't ask her because if she told the truth, it wouldn't look good for me. Right. So it's not a feeling. It's not romance. It's not attraction or affection. And that's the love we typically think of, right? But the Bible introduces a deeper, higher kind of love, and that's that big word, agape love. I don't even speak good English. I'm much less than I can pretend like I know Greek, but agape is a Greek word. I lost my definition for it, but that's what we're talking about. That is the definition of it, is that higher kind of love from God. This is not based on emotion, convenience. We're going to talk about convenience here in a minute, that giving where it is the deliberate choice to seek God good of others, no matter the cost. Deliberate choice. You know, we talk about choices all the time. You know, we got to make a choice to follow Christ or not. But agape love, this love that come from God, originate from God, you have to make a choice. That you have to deliberately do it. It don't just come to you. You have to deliberately make that choice for the good of others. And that good of others, and we talk, we joke, and you know, I kind of joke a lot about, you know, a lot of people we don't like, but that includes them too. For the good of others, no matter what it costs you. Are you at that level? Are you there? No matter what it costs you. From one end, you know, either your time, everything in between, up to death. What Jesus did. What Jesus did for us. He set the example on agape love. Agape love is how God loves us and how he calls us to love others. You know what the beauty about Christ is when he walked this earth? He gave us the blueprint on what to do, on how to do it. He's not asking us to do anything that he hadn't done. He hasn't. He loved, he died on that cross for everybody. Everybody. And history's past and up until we get the end of the world, until he brings us home. That includes everybody and everything in between. It's unconditional and it's selfish, selflessness. It gives freely to everyone, even enemies, without regard for the merit of return. Don't expect nothing in return. Now, if you wholeheartedly do what he tells you to do, you probably will get something in return. But don't expect it. Just do it because that's the way God wants you to do it. And it's action-oriented, meaning you got to do something. You got to do something. You got to do it. A deliberate choice, we talked about that, an act of the will, demonstrated through sacrifice, like Jesus, rather than just emotion. It involves goodwill, kindness, and desire for others. It's patient, patience, kind, not proud. Guys, I'm looking at the men. That kind of leans towards us a lot of time. You know, we got a little pride sometimes. I think the women agree with us. We do. Sometimes that pride gets in, the pride and self gets in the way of a lot of stuff with your relationship with God. Patient, kind, not proud, not self-seeking, preserving. Persevering, I'm sorry. I knew that didn't sound right. I feel like maybe I need one of my readers. But y'all get the point of, and I'm just, this is overview. Now we're going to break it down. God's love describes God's inherent nature and his boundless, unmerited love for people. And he demonstrated that through Christ. It's a divine gift. Here's the kicker. You got to have Christ before you can even have what we're talking about. If you don't have Christ, it doesn't. You're not going to get this. You can't get this. It's nothing. Nothing you do or can do. It's all what Christ can do through you. So you got to have Christ first. It's actively choosing to love others, even when difficult. You know, we talk a lot. You know, it's, when everything's going good, or you're around people you like, probably ain't that hard to do. But what about when things ain't so good? I don't know if you know this. Jesus had a bad day. He had a bad week leading up to his death on the cross. From a human standpoint, he had a bad day. But he never lost his focus on his mission, his call from God, or his love for us. Never did. You know, we talked with it last week or two. We talked even after dying on the cross. He was concerned about the well-being of his mother. Are we there? Are we at that point where things are bad for us? Are we still thinking about what's best for other people? Again, you're going to do that if you have Christ. So we talked about agape love originated with God. I read John 3:16. But also 1 John 4:8 says God is love. That's how it starts out. God is love. So I'm trying to think how I want to word this. God is love. So in order for us to have this love, we have to be, it has to be in us. It has to be a part of us. And you have that done by Christ in your life. You got to have in order to be of love. Love is not just something God does. It's who He is. Every act of true agape love flows from His character. Does it flow from you? Are you producing that agape love that Jesus provides? Let me put it, look here. This is the best way. I don't know why I know how to describe it. I got to put it down in our, or my terms. You're driving down the road, a guy cuts you off. Are you waving at him or speaking bad things to him? Just think about those examples like that. What kind of agape love does not do that stuff. So we need to focus on how to, you got, and I tell you this all the time, you have to be ready for that kind of things. You got to be ready, prepare yourself, because it's not going to come naturally. You're going to want to say something or wave at him or whatever you want, whatever the, how you do it, how you handle it. You got to prepare yourself and be ready for this agape love to come out. And it says, Romans 5:8 tells it, but God shows His love for us that while we were yet sinners, still sinners, Christ died for us. And this, hey, look, this applies to everybody in here. And I can say that with confidence because we can't do it. God didn't wait for us to be worthy. He loved us at our worst. That agape loves is unwavering, unconditional, unwavering. He didn't wait for you to get right because you can't get right on your own. You can't do it. That's what I tell you all the time. Don't wait till you clean yourself up or get rid of something in your life before you start following God or go to church or whatever. Because you never will. You never get there. You never will. You never make it. So it originates with God, and it's agape love is sacrificial, which means sacrifice. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. John 15:13. Agape love gives even when it hurts. It serves even when it's inconvenient. It forgives even when it's undeserved. That's a big one. That's when you really know if you lined up with Christ or not, when you have to give this kind of love out to people, when it hurts you, when it's inconvenient for you, or when it's undeserved by the person. Be careful with that undeserved part and stuff. Ain't nobody in here deserve God's love. Nobody. So everybody is undeserving. So the way to deal with that is realize that nobody is deserving of it. But because Christ did it for us and wanted us, he made it happen for us. Jesus demonstrated this perfectly on the cross. His love was not spoken it was shown through his sacrifice. And that's the key. This kind of love, it needs to flow from you. You got to see it. Other people have to see that you really mean what you just don't say. And don't do the lip service and just say, hey, I love you. And we ain't talking about that kind of love anyway, but be sincere. Let it flow from you. It's kind of like being a Christian. Don't have to tell nobody you're a Christian. They should know you're a Christian by the way you carry yourself, the way you live your life, the way you handle all situations.
Accept
a gift. That's right. We should be jumping with joy that God, that once you accept his gift, that you want to share it with somebody. And we need to share it with somebody. And here's another deal. It's not a command. It is a command, sorry. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. If you're going to be a Christian, you're going to call yourself a Christian. You're going to have this kind of love. If you don't, maybe we need to do a self-check on ourselves. You know, sometimes we need to stand up. We all, at different times, need to stand in the mirror, look at ourselves, not physically, but deep down. Am I lining up with you, God? Where do I need to improve? Because remember, it's not just fire insurance when you accept Christ and you're done. It's a continual growing commitment to getting closer to God as you go. John 13:34 tells us, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another just as I love you. That's your command from Jesus right there. He even says, a new command. I give you, love one another. Again, you know, that a good leader, which Jesus was on earth, unconventional way, but he was a good leader because he was willing to get down in the trenches and do everything he's asking us to do. So he led by example. And he's just not giving you orders or commands without doing it first. What did he say? As I have loved you. He did it first. We are not called to love based on how we feel. That's very important. A lot of times we ain't going to feel like doing it. So that's why he says it's not based on that. It's based on just a command of doing it. We are commanded to love Christ with patience, mercy, and grace. This means, here's a little list I put together here. The difficult people, we leave it at that, difficult people. That means loving them too. It also means those who misunderstand us. There's people we're going to witness to that don't know where you're coming from because they don't have Christ yet. Or they don't have Christ at that time. So, and it also, even our enemies. Because Matthew 5:44 tells us, but I say to you, love your enemies. That's another command. So every excuse you can come up with is in Scripture somewhere to do it anyway. And let me share something with you. And just because I happen to be called to be a preacher don't mean I don't struggle with this. We all going to struggle with it probably at times. It's not natural, humanly natural to have this. Well, you can't have it unless you have Christ. So just keep that in mind. Agape love is also love in action, not just words. Let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and truth. 1 John. It shows up in kindness when someone is hurting. It's patient when someone fails. It's generosity when someone is in need. Just think about yourself. Put yourself, and this is self question. It's not. Don't share it unless you feel you want to. What about that person that's going through a hard time, bad time? Are you helping in any way to get them through it? Or are you just like, they just deal with it? What about that someone that messes up? Are you laughing at them, ridicule them? I told you so. I knew he was going to mess up. Are we doing that? Are we really sincere and loving that person and picking them up when they fall down? Or help pick them up? That's agape love. That's the kind of love we're shooting for. Or that person that's in need. You know, I had that sermon at one time on that. Helping people in need. I tell you, God, if you let him in your life and you follow what he tells you to do, I think he's a comedian. Because he likes to put things in your life sometimes that makes you want to chuckle a little bit. I just got through preaching that, and he put me to the test. A man pulled off the road right here was having some function, needed some money. My first instinct is no. But I ended up getting what I had in my wallet to get him down the road. Now, okay, God, I did what you asked me to do. It's on him. It's on him what he does with it. If he legitimately needed it, fine. Or if he didn't, he bought something else he didn't need to buy with it. That's not my part. What God is looking at is how you respond to him, not how everybody else responds. That's not your concern, our concern. So we got to balance that, and that helps you in these situations with this agape love. If you would take out what they're going to do or what reaction they're going to do, don't worry about that. That's between him and God. You worry about your command or call from God. It's not just what we say, it's what we do. Your actions, again. Of all we've been talking about, I got a couple more. This may be one of the most important reasons we have agape love and what we should do with it. It reflects Christ to the world. God chose us to be his vessel to get his message and his word out there. He chose us, human beings, to pass it along, carry it on. So it said, by this all people will know that you are my disciples. We're disciples. If you have loved one another. Because remember, they go hand in hand. If you're a Christian, you're a disciple. You're called to do something. And then that should be getting out there. So people should see, reflect Christ through you. The greatest testimony of a believer is not knowledge, talent, or success. It's love. It is love. When we walk in agape love, we become living evidence of Christ's presence in us. If you went to trial right now on your Christianity, would they have enough to convict you of being a Christian? Or would they let you go? What's your evidence look like? What's that old saying? My grandma used to say it, proof in the pudding. Is that how you say it? Something like that. I really don't know what that means. I like pudding. Maybe that's I got proof that I like pudding. That's part of my romance, yeah. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. Love never ends. That's a scripture I'm going to leave you with, and then I've got a couple more things here. Agape love is not easy, but it's powerful. It's powerful. It heals wounds, restores relationships, and transforms lives. If you want to see some miraculous things happen that God does, He can do it through you and I. Remember, He uses His people to do great things. And most of the people He uses are not the ones you think about normally. There's a whole list of them in the Bible. You may not always feel it, but you can choose it. And when you do, you're walking in the very nature of God. Remember, even if you don't feel like it, I'll close with this. As the musicians come forward, we're going to have a moment of invitation here in a minute. Christians are to love unconditionally. God calls His sons and daughters to love people as they are and to pray that He will do work in their lives. That's Romans 5. It's unconditionally, sacrificially. We should not merely tell others of God's love, but show them that God loves through our demonstrations of love. That's in 1 John. And it's personal. The only Christ, this is through only Christ, most people will ever see the Christ they see in us. Sometimes, let me rephrase that. That's in John. What he's saying is, that person that don't have Christ, the only time they might see it or have an opportunity is through you. It's through me. Answer your call as a Christian. Demonstrate this agape love, and then all the other stuff will fall into place. God will guide you and direct you. Everybody stand. We can close in prayer in just a second. If you're a Christian and you need to reflect on some stuff, get things back right with God, or whatever your situation may be, you can have that opportunity. You can do it where you're standing. You can come up to these altars. You can pray. You can come to me if you need me to say something to you, guide you, when I'm going to guide you in the direction you need to go. Same with you non-Christians, if there's any in here. If you don't have Christ, you haven't made that decision yet, today is the day of salvation. There's no better day. Don't leave here without getting your heart right with God. Either way, if you're a Christian and you need to fix some stuff, or if you're not a Christian and you just need God to start with that, you have this opportunity. Either way you see fit. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to be here in your house to hear your words, Lord. Just open our minds, our hearts to what you have us receive, and just give us this agape love that you... And so let us utilize this agape love that you gave us, that you demonstrated for us, Lord. And just let us be a beacon of your light. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.